Not so many on Monday, though. 19, 10 for the Cats, 9 for the Hawks in the 5-point loss for the Hawks. Tom Mitchell was a part of it all, and I think he's with us on The Breakfast Club this morning. Tom, you're with us.
Yeah, got your half. Sorry, a few technical difficulties early, but we're good to go now.
That's all right, buddy. It can happen. It's okay. As long as you're with us, we're happy with that. Yeah. How'd you pull up from the weekend? And more importantly, the review process. What was it like? We'll go straight into that, because I was live at the game there on Monday watching it all unfold. Boy, I thought you had him in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was a tight one, wasn't it? It was your typical Easter Monday game. Both teams going at it, and a really good atmosphere. Obviously, 50,000 people there. We hadn't had that for a while, but yeah, we did have our chances. But similar to probably the week before against Richmond, we left our run a little bit late. We started playing some really good footy in the second half, but we need to start games like that. So I think if we can do that this week against Freo, we'll be a good chance to win the game.
Tommy, how was Clarko after the game? In games like that, you know, the coach can go either way. He can be obviously proud of the group and the fight back, but then can also, like Terry Wallace did back in the day when we just lost to Collingwood, you know, you get a pat on the back, I'll spew up, sort of side of things. How was Clarko post game?
Yeah, exactly right. What you just said. It was mixed emotions. He was proud of the effort, but also frustrated because, you know, there were things that we'd practiced all pre-season and things that we know work that just took us a half a footy until we started to implement it. So, you know, there was frustration with things we were doing with the ball, how we were defending, which was sort of out of character, and we were doing things that we hadn't done over the last couple of months in our training, and I think that was where the frustration came from. But having said that, we've shown some real competitiveness and fight. You know, the Essendon game being down 40 points, this game being down 20 or 30, and being able to stick in the game and fight it out. So that he was proud of us for that.
One of the things that intrigued me, Tom, was the sign that said GT, which was either green time or go time or something like that, because it seemed that when that was put up on the bench, you did seem to go quicker and you did look a lot better. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means without giving away too many secrets?
I actually got to be honest, I didn't even see the sign. It's not gin and tonic, is it? Or G&T. GT. I'd have to see the sign to actually be able to tell you. Generally, most teams sort of have, you know, a call to action in terms of slowing the game down or speeding the game up. And, I think when you're down in a game, you're left with no options. So, it's funny. Like, when we're given that mode to go into, we seem to play better footy and we just sort of play with a bit more freedom. So it is something that we need to just do from the start of the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it might be a bit of a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway. Why don't you play like that all the time? Or is it literally unsustainable to go at that sort of speed, or are you risking too much to go at that sort of speed to do it all game or early in the game? How does it sort of come about that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think with these new rules, everyone's sort of, investigating and playing around with what is realistic. And, that could be a factor of fatigue and going too hard too early and spending your petrol tickets. But, you know, if you're willing to do that to get a lead early in the game, then it might be worthwhile doing that and then hanging on. So I think all teams are exploring different ways of approaching it. And we're only 3 games in, so I think it's just going to evolve as the season goes on.
We were talking to one of the other players earlier in the week, Tom, about being 3 games in, just they mentioned that, and the body's starting to feel like it's in normal season swing now. I mean, obviously last year was very different. The games sort of finished quite quickly and there was only 17 of them. But are you starting to feel like you're ready now, you're match hardened going into the rest of the season?
Pretty close. I think it normally does take you a few games to blow the cobwebs out. And, the first game you're always sort of gasping for air and just sort of you think it's the hardest thing you've ever done, and then your body just sort of adjusts and you do get used to it. You get what we call footy fit. So obviously there's, you know, you're pretty running fit in the pre-season, but then you know footy fitness is different. So I think after 3 games you're pretty close to that level.
Tom, having won the Brownlow medal, you know what it takes and you know what the umpires are looking for from your own performances now. Do you sit there and sort of say, yep, that was a 3 voter today? You might have 6 votes on the board already out of 3 rounds.
No, not really sure, to be honest. It is funny. Some games where you think you might get a few, you don't. And then games where you think, I've had an average run, you do. So it is hard to predict sometimes. And that's probably why it's not worth reading into too much. You just sort of go out there and give it your best shot and try and help your team win and, you know, let that stuff look after itself.
Well, so on that, I want to talk more about what happened on Monday when O'Connor came to you at the first bounce. Firstly, did you expect that that would happen?
We did speak about it in our planning. We thought, you know, he obviously went to Lockie Neal the week before that and, you know, did a good job by Lockie's standards. Lockie's obviously probably the best player in the comp. So, yeah, we planned for it. And, yeah, it obviously happened. But I think with those sort of things, it can work in our team's favour in that we can sort of manipulate stoppages and get things on our terms. So it was great to see, you know, Jago O'Meara had a ripping game and had over 10 clearances, and Liam Shields had about 30 touches as well. So in terms of sharing the load and, you know, everyone sort of bouncing off each other, it actually helps us as a team as well.
So do you consciously then change modes in the way that you're going to play? Do you have a conversation with your teammates at the first, after the first goal or stoppages to say, okay, this is happening now, so I'm now going to do this? Or do you just continue to try and hunt the footy and do what you would normally do?
Yeah, you do make some subtle adjustments, and I sort of got a bit of a go-to plan of when you do get a run with player. And as I said, you can play a sacrificial role and, you know, do things that I suppose spectators may not be aware of, but it is helping free your teammates up and, you know, get them going. And it does help our midfield as a group. So, you know, there's going to be games when it's your turn and your turn to pop up. And then there's going to be games where you take a backward step and, you know, do things to sacrifice to help the team on that day.
Tommy, that's a great approach in terms of, you know, obviously sharing the load, and your midfielders, your other teammates standing up when the opposition are putting time into yourself, which is in some ways a positive for you anyway with where your footy's at. But speaking of positives, the rise of some of the younger players, you know, CJ and Jacob Kaczynski, Tyler Brockman kicked a ripper in the last quarter on the weekend. We watched from afar. What are they like up close, and how far can these guys go in the competition?
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. CJ's already a crowd favourite. He's a cult hero. you know, he's going to be something special. His athleticism is just off the charts. He's pretty much the quickest at the club and also the fittest. So he's got some real attributes. Dylan Moore, another one. He's, you know, he finished the year really strongly last year, and he's sort of carried that into this year. Cozzy, Brocky, you know, there's a number of guys which, you know, that next wave of and generation of Hawthorn players, it's pretty exciting. It's a different feel around the club, but there's so much energy and enthusiasm that these guys are just keen to get better, and I think it's helping the older guys too.
A different feel and different expectations probably this year for the first time, really, I think, outside and probably inside the club too, Tom, that you know, Alistair Clarkson's been quite vocal saying we're probably not contending for a premiership this year, so there is a different level of expectation. Just on the back of that, what have you seen from the first 3 weeks? Have you sort of overachieved what you thought you might be able to get to, or is this about the standard that we'll see from the Hawks this year? Really competitive, might just fall short every now and then.
Yeah, it's hard to pick up on a trend after 3 games, but I think the pleasing thing has been that we've been competitive in every game. We obviously want to win every game we play, so but I feel as though the belief of the group is there, and I think that carries you a long way when you start to genuinely believe in your system and you get evidence of things working. You know, who knows what can happen. You know, you're looking at a team like Sydney who are up and about at the moment. No one would have predicted that earlier in the year, and you know, anything could happen to any team. So we're just going to keep working hard and have belief in ourselves and just see where it takes us.
You're going to play the Dockers. They play well at home. They're not so good away from home. So your approach to this week, because when you look at where the season's at, staying in touch with the eight, and your couple of losses, you're right, to Richmond and Geelong, both grand finalists last year, a big comeback against the Bombers. So the confidence levels going over and taking on this Dockers team, where do they sit?
Yeah, they're obviously a formidable team at home, so we know it's going to be a pretty big challenge. But yeah, it's just going to be about preparing well. It's our first interstate trip together as a team, so I think all the boys are looking forward to getting away, going to Perth, but actually knowing that we'll be able to come home this time and not get stuck in a hub. So everyone's pretty pumped about that. But yeah, it's going to be tough, and I'm not sure if Fife playing, or they haven't decided
that
yet.
Yeah, he'll play. He'll yep, he's play been given the tick.
I think.
Well, that makes the challenge a bit harder, but, you know, they're a really good team over there. But, yeah, we'll just give it our best shot.
Have you been impressed with the Freo midfield? Leave Fife out of it, because I mean, I guess he's played forward a lot in the games that he's played. But just the Sarong, Brayshaw, Chera, they look like they're the core of the next 10 years for Freo in that midfield.
Yeah, they're some pretty good young players there. We played them the back end of last year, and they beat us over there. And some of those young guys you mentioned, they had really good games. So, you know, you add those young guys on top of Fife and Mundy, the guys who have been doing it for forever, really. Yeah, it's a pretty good midfield. So it's going to be a good challenge this week.
Tom, what do you prefer? Would you like to go to the young buck of a Brayshaw or the older 36-year-old in David Mundy?
Oh, it's tough either way, isn't it? You got the young legs, or you got the old wise players. So it doesn't get easier either way you go. But I've loved watching, you know, when I actually finished schooling over in Perth, and my old man was working at the Dockers, and yeah, I used to love watching Fife and Mundy then. They were sort of, especially Mundy, a player that probably isn't recognised as across the competition as, you know, with the absolute A-graders, but I think he'd have to be right up there. He's been a super player for a long time, and probably doesn't get enough recognition.
He's an absolute jet, no doubt about that. David Mundy continuing to perform at a very experienced level every week for the Fremantle Dockers. What's the week like? What happens from here? Just for our listeners now, Hawks fans out there, Tom, that want to find out how you go about your week. What happens from here? We're a Thursday, you play Sunday. What's the timeline look like?
Yeah, so, well, I've actually got a bit of a different week. I'm moving house today, so that's a bit different.
Oh, yeah.
We got a day off today, so normally that's just, you know, go and switch off from footy, go and do something else outside of footy to keep your mind fresh. So that'll be today. Tomorrow will be our main training day, so we'll prepare as if we would for a game, do our sort of match simulation drills, and then Saturday we'll fly to Perth, so the day before normally, get in there and have a little run around at Optus Stadium, and yeah, then we're into it on Sunday. So yeah, that's sort of how the rest of the week looks.
Do you get your own room these days because of COVID protocols? You've got to have your own room?
Yeah, you do. So no bunking result in with anyone.
Great. Who was the worst to bunk in with, just by the way?
Well, that's actually been the... it's actually been like that in my entire time at Hawthorn. So it's always been, you get your own room, but I'm just trying to think who would be annoying to room with. probably John Segler. He's pretty grumpy, so probably him.
John Segler.
Yeah, it depends. If you won and you rub over a few frothies, I reckon it'd be good fun.
he'd probably be the best then, wouldn't he?
Now, you said you're moving house. It sounds like you live in Hillsville Sanctuary at the moment with all the bird noises going on in the background.
I know, sorry. I've been kicked out of the house so they can chuck all the couches in, so I'm sitting out the front in the cold next to all the birds in the trees.
No, it sounds lovely, don't get me wrong. It's a lovely sound. And I remember seeing a photo or a video of you in your gym setup at the old house. Have you able to transfer the gym? Because it looked pretty elite to me.
Yeah, no, it was a nice setup, the gym. Probably won't have room to set that up, but, you know, hopefully can find another house one day and set it up, because I'll give them a little plug. Iron Edge, they've been pretty good to me and helped me set up that gym through COVID, which was pretty helpful preparing for last year's footy season. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. That looked like a great setup. I might come over and visit if you don't mind, Tommy. It can't be that far away. Just on the bigger picture, Whitey talked before about tagging. I think that's probably come in back into the competition a fair bit this year in terms of employing that tactic. Is there anything else that's changed through footy this year? Well, obviously the stand on the mark rule is well discussed, but anything else that you've noticed in the first 3 weeks that's different this year about the AFL?
Oh, nothing really springs to mind. The obvious one you've stated there, the man on the mark rule. You know, I think teams who can manipulate that the most are going to be at the most advantage. So I think every team is pretty much looking at that. And probably the other significant thing would be, you know, I think in terms of kickouts and things like that, you're seeing teams sort of set their zones back a bit deeper because it's sort of almost like a, how would you word it? It's not as much of a high press to lock teams in, because the ball can go travel so far over your head now, and you're probably losing five or six players in your layers of defence. So you're sort of seeing teams set their press a little bit deeper back from goal.
Yeah, and the stand the mark rule, that's a good pickup, by the way. I reckon that's spot on with the kick-ins. Just the stand the mark rule, are we trying to exploit it more or trying to defend it more within club land? Are coaches trying to benefit from it or make sure that the other team is not benefiting from it?
I think it's both. I think both sides are equally as important. So, I know definitely at our club it's something that we're constantly looking at, and I can only imagine all 17 other clubs are doing the exact same thing because it's such a significant rule change. There's huge advantage for the teams that can get it right.
You were talking to us last time we spoke to you about getting the balance in life and having a bit more of a perspective on what footy is and where it fits in with you. How are you spending your time outside of the footy hours these days? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I got a few different things going on. Actually, launching a app, which actually hits the App Store tomorrow. So that's sort of been something in the works for over 12 months. So I've teamed up with Paddy Cripps, Lockie Neal, Matt Rowell and Aaron Phillips. So we sort of came together with an idea around 12 months ago with this app. And it's called Ball Magnets, launches tomorrow. And yeah, it's sort of been good to explore business and other opportunities outside of footy.
Right. So what's on this Ball Magnets app? I've got a little man who's 13 who wants to get better at footy. I imagine this can help, can it?
Yeah, for sure. That's the intention. It's we sort of wanted to create something that we would have loved as kids growing up, loving the game, how to sort of get the edge, how to improve. So it'll be things around ball handling, footy drills, strength and conditioning, some fun challenges and tricks, and some entertaining content, and getting to know the players' personalities on a deeper level. So it's a bit of a mix of everything. We're pretty excited by it, so we hope people really enjoy it.
Righto, check it out. Ball Magnets in your App Store. Tomorrow, did you say?
Yeah, tomorrow. Yep.
All right. Let's get to some questions from our listeners. Tommy, before we let you go, there's one from Ryan who asks, did you think about saying anything to Isaac on Monday? Or did you say anything?
I said something. I can't remember what I said, but he sort of ran past. But no, he's probably not one you want to engage too much on the lip because he's pretty good. So a lot of the guys gave him the silent treatment, which sort of caught him off guard a little bit. But he loves to chat, Isaac, so we just decided not to talk to him.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you about that, Tom, because we spoke to Isaac on Monday and he sensed that there was a plan to give him the silent treatment. He was a bit sort of on the back foot on that. So you can confirm that was the case?
Well, yeah, I think he was sort of, trying to organise a dinner post-game with a few of the boys, and the boys thought, no, let's just try and get his nerves a little bit higher and ignore his texts and not talk to him and make him feel a bit uncomfortable.
Brilliant. That's all he deserves too, just by the way. Thank you, Ryan, for that question. Tate wants to know, will Sean Burgoyne be given any more tagging roles after his efforts on Dustin Martin in round two?
Yeah, I was actually chatting to Sean about this yesterday. Normally he sort of gets swung to every part of the ground, and he seems pretty comfortable down back, so it'd be nice to see him settle in one position. But the good thing about Sean, as we've seen over his career, is that he can throw him anywhere and he can do a good job, so who knows. Dusty's pretty hard guy to stop. Sean did what he could and did well, and he can play forward, back, mid, do whatever we need to do. So he's done that for his whole career, which we love.
Yeah, he's pretty special, Sean Burgoyne. And this one from Couch Specimen. Of all the Mitchells at the club, which one is more likely to wear their Brownlow to training, you or Sam?
Oh, definitely Sam. Definitely Sam. He'd walk around with his premiership medals, Brownlow, all that stuff, and happily let you know about it.
How's he going, Sam, as the coach of the Box Hill Hawks these days? How's he tracking?
Yeah, he's going well. I was out at the Box Hill practice game last week, and a few of our young boys are going really well down there. So I think their round one game mustn't be too far away. They've been playing practice games for a fair while now, Box Hill, so I think they're keen to get stuck into their real season.
I'm hearing some good things down there at the Box Hill Hawks about what he's been able to do. So we'll see how it all goes. Good luck to you and the boys this weekend in Perth, mates. It was a great game, great contest on Monday. Unfortunately, it didn't go your way, but I'll be downloading the app tomorrow, Ball Magnets. That's what I'll be doing. And I'll be watching on Sunday to see how you go against the Dockers. Appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate
good luck
it.
With the house move and the aviary there in the sanctuary.
It was a cacophony of noise.
It was a cacophony. It was lovely. It was lovely. Beautiful morning noises to wake up to in a beautiful Melbourne morning. Jono, stay with us. We need to get to a quick break. We'll come back. Got a few other things I want to talk to you. And after 8 o'clock, Whitey's going to transform the game.